turn tonight to the 78th Psalm, Psalm 78. This is a psalm that is historical of God's intervention and provision for his people from the time of Moses to the time of David. It is entitled the title of the psalm is Masko of Asaph, which means a psalm to give instruction. And in the first eight verses, we have a preface to the history that is revealed throughout the psalm. In verse 1, there is a call to give attention to what is about to be said. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." The psalmist went on to say in verse 2 that what he was about to speak, he would speak freely, he would speak plainly, he would speak of things that are past, things that are easily forgotten, things that are even hard to believe. He said in verse 2, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings." Again, these things are easily forgotten, hard to believe. "I will utter dark sayings of old." In verse 3, he speaks of the certainty of what he was about to say. He says, "Which we have heard," that is, the things that are revealed in this psalm, we have heard of these things. Not only have we heard of them, they have been known. And our fathers, those who went before us, have told us of these things. So these were things that they were very familiar with. He also went on to say that, express the importance of passing these things unto future generations. He said, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." So what he was going to say should be told to future generations, that they too would have this knowledge of these things. In verse 6, he says that the generation to come might know, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, that is, even those who are not yet born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So he says, we're going to recount this history so that you can tell them to your children and that your children can tell them to their children. As you read through this 78th Psalm, you see that he records the many ways in which God intervened in their lives, the many ways in which God provided in the lives of his people. And he told them these things to encourage them and that they might again tell these things to their children and their children to their children for the purpose of encouraging them, for the purpose of establishing them in the faith. He said in verse 7 that they might set their hope in God. That is, tell these things that others may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. And also he told these things so that they would be obedient but keep his commandments. He also spoke these things as a word of warning. He said in verse 8, again speaking of their children and their children's children, "Tell these things to them that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So this psalm serves as a reminder. It serves as a reminder of God's working. It serves as a reminder of God's working on behalf of his people. I want to speak this evening on God's intervention and provision in the life of his people. We want to see, first of all, the character of God's workings with his people. And then we want to mention four things that we see here in this 78th Psalm concerning the various things that God did. But first of all, consider the character of God's working. Throughout this psalm, we are told of and reminded of the condition of the people, God's people. We are told over and over and reminded again and again of the sin of God's people. Keep in mind as we read the conditions of these people, as we read the sins of these people, these are the recipients of God's blessings. These are the recipients of God's interventions and God's provision, which makes it all grace and mercy. Notice, we're not going to comment, or if we do, be very little, but verse 8, we've already read that, but we see the condition and the sin of the people. They were stubborn, they were rebellious. Their heart was not right with God. Their spirit was not steadfast with God. In verse 9, we see the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. It could not be depended upon. In verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. In verse 11, they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. In verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him. This is in light of God's blessings that are mentioned. God blessed them, continued to bless them abundantly. And what did they do? They sinned even more against the Lord. In verse 18, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. In verse 20, we see they doubted God. They were filled with unbelief, even after God had miraculously supplied their needs many times. When they got to the position of a need again, they began to question, can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They were filled with unbelief. They were filled with doubt in spite of all the ways that God provided for them. Yet God just continued to provide and intervene in their lives. In verse 22, we see they believed not in God. They trusted not in his salvation. In verse 30, we see they were not estranged from their lust. They refused to leave. They refused to set aside their own sinful desires. In verse 32, for all this, that in verse 31 speaks of the wrath of God, speaks of the judgment of God coming down upon them. And even though God from time to time would judge them, we see they sin still. So God would bless them and they would sin. God would judge them and they would sin. This is what they did. They constantly rebelled against God. Verse 36, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They gave God lip service, and God rebuked them for this, of course, many times. They lied unto him with their tongues, and this, of course, is what mere lip service is. It just lies to God. In verse 37, their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. In verse 40, we see they provoked God in the wilderness. It's not a wise thing to provoke the Almighty. But they provoked God in the wilderness. In verse 41, they turned their back on God. And again, they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. That is, they would put God in a box. They set limitations upon God. We see in verse 42, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They were a forgetful people. In verse 56, they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and they kept not his testimonies. Verse 57, but they turned back, and they dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. This went on from generation to generation. The people's condition, the people's lifestyle did not change. The people's nature did not change. Verse 57, again, they turned back and dealt unfaithfully. In verse 58, they provoked him to anger with their high places, with their places of idolatry, with their places of abomination. They provoked God, and they moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Yet in spite of all of these things, in spite of their condition, in spite of their continual sin, notice verse 12. Verse 12, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers. Marvelous things did God do on their behalf. This was an ungrateful and sinful people. Yet on their behalf and in spite of themselves, God did marvelous things for them. That is, God did amazing things. God did unheard of things. God did phenomenal things on their behalf. God did breathtaking things on their behalf. They are referred to in verse 32, that is, these things that God did. In verse 32, for all this they sinned and believed not for his wondrous works. He did wonderful things. That is, he did glorious things, all on their behalf and all for their benefit. And it was all in spite of themselves. He did glorious and incredible things. Notice verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, care, concern, love, mercy, kindness. Now, as you read through this 78th Psalm, you see many, many times God judged them. At times God even killed them. But however God dealt with them, they never got what they deserved. If God killed them, they still didn't get what they deserved. God was always merciful. God was always good. He was full of compassion. He forgave their iniquity. He forgave them of their sin and destroyed them not. Again, you can get caught up in the ways that God judged the people here, but over and over and over again, God did not judge them. They sinned, and God was long-suffering. And God blessed them in spite of their sin. Yea, many a time turned he away his anger. Again, there are times in this 78th Psalm where we read that they provoked God to anger. And there were times that God poured his wrath down. And there were times when God poured his judgment down. But over and over and over again, God turned away his anger. And oh, how true that is of us as well. How many times God has turned away his anger from you and I. And we see also, he did not stir up all his wrath. He never does. This world has never seen all of God's wrath. God never gives us all of his wrath. That's what we deserve. We deserve all the wrath of God. And the fact that he holds back at all is grace and mercy. So even when he judged them, even when he killed them, even when he killed their flocks and their herds, even when he destroyed their crops, there was still mercy in that, because he did not give them what they deserve. So what we see here is a history of God's intervention, a history of God's provision for his people. And when you think of God's intervention, whether you think of the entire history of the world, or you just think of your own life, you think of God's intervention and you think of God's provision. And it is a story. It is a story of grace. It is a story of mercy. Even the times that God has displayed his anger toward his people, there is still an abundance of God's grace and God's mercy. So everything we read here in this 78th Psalm, remember who the recipients are of God's intervention, of God's provision. Remember their condition, remember their sin. And remember that everything God did for them, everything God did to them, there was grace and there was mercy. And you think about God's intervention. You and I are aware of many times in our lives when we could see the intervening hand of God. But God intervenes for me every single day, all day long. Satan would destroy each and every one of us were it not for God's intervention. The enemies of God would destroy us were it not for God's intervention. You have no idea the plans of men. And yet God intervened. And God has overthrown the plans and the intents of wicked man. And that's true in all of our lives. God intervenes every day. And God provides every day. And we need to be aware of God's intervention. We need to be aware of God's provision. We need to tell the story of God's intervention. We need to tell the story of God's provision to our children, and that they would tell them to their children, and so on. This is a story of grace. It is a story of mercy. We want to notice four things in particular. There are more than four, but we want to just notice four that God did for his people. And again, keep in mind, everything he did in grace and mercy. In verse 13, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. God, in grace and mercy, made a way for God's people to escape. This goes back, of course, to Exodus chapter 14. But when God's people, the children of Israel, were ensnared in the wilderness, they could not go to the right, they could not go to the left, they could not return, and it did not look like they could go forward. It was at that moment that God said, "Fear ye not, stand still. Fear ye not, stand still. and see the salvation of the Lord and see the deliverance of God. You know why many times you and I don't see? It's because we don't stand still. Stand still and see. We'd see a lot of things if we would shut our mouths and just stop. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And as they were standing there, the Egyptians were getting closer and closer. Their situation grew worse and worse. And people will say, well, I stood still and it got worse. You didn't stand still long enough. Because if you stand still long enough, it'll get better. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The problem is many times we don't stand still long enough. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There appeared to be no way out of their predicament. Then the Lord said, go forward. In other words, you've stood still long enough. Now it's time to move. Go forward. And we know the story. Moses lifted up his rod, and the Lord began to roll back the Red Sea. And the children of Israel walked safely across on dry ground. What happened that day? God made a way. God had a way, and he always does. These people did not deserve it, but God made a way for them. And how many times in our earthly journey has there seemed to be nowhere to go and no way to go? And God intervened. God stepped in. And God showed us a way. How many times we've been hemmed in by the enemies of God? How many times we've been hemmed in by insurmountable obstacles? And God steps in and he shows us the way. And we go safely across. He showed us the God-provided way, and then he gives us strength to walk through that way. And it's all due to his grace, and it's all due to his mercy. You look back in your life, and it's good many times to go back in our lives and go back as long as you can remember and review God's working in your life. Because at the time, many times we didn't realize God was working. But looking back, we can see God's hand every step of the way. Looking back, we can see God intervening in our lives. God making provision in our lives. So God made a way. Always look for God's way. Always be on the lookout for God's way. In fact, do not take a single step unless you know you're walking in God's way. Secondly, God in grace and mercy provides guidance and protection. Verse 14, it says, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. How many times in this world you and I have lost our way? We all have. I'm talking about since we've been saved. We've all lost our way many times. And many times we lost all sense of direction. And we didn't know where to go. And God intervenes. And God provides the guidance that we need. How many times we would have lost our way. Lost our way many times. But how many times we would have lost our way had not God guided us? How many times we would have made the wrong turn? Again, we've all made wrong turns. We've all gone down wrong roads. But think of how many more wrong turns you would have made were it not for God's guidance. Were it not for God intervening. How many times you were about to make that wrong turn. And God intervenes. And he can intervene in innumerable ways. God intervenes. And God changes our course. And in doing so, he saves our life. In doing so, he saves the lives of others. This is God's intervention. This is God's provision. How many times, again, we would have taken the wrong road. We would have turned the wrong way. And we heard the voice of God whispering to us, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You don't want to go this way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. God can and does lead his people. Notice the words there in verse 14. Daytime and all the night. Daytime and all the night. That sounds to me like around the clock. He gives around the clock guidance. He gives around the clock protection. And it's all due to his grace. It's all due to his mercy. Because there have been times in our lives, not only would we have made the wrong turn, we didn't care. And there were times in our lives when we deliberately took the wrong road. And many times we would have deliberately taken the wrong road. But God intervenes. And God prevents us from doing so. God protects us from ourselves every single day. And it's all by grace and mercy. We see also that God, in his grace and mercy, sustains his people. In verse 15 and 16, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Notice in verse 23, though he had commanded the clouds from heaven and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And God even rules the weather for the sake of his people. God can direct the wind for the sake of his people. God can send rain, God can withhold rain for the sake of his people. But all things work together for the good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So he caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust. And feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp. Could have let it fall anywhere. But he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their desire. God, in grace and mercy, in spite of ourselves, he supports us, he helps us, he comforts us, he gives us strength, he enables us. He nourishes us. He maintains his people. And he does so in marvelous and wonderful ways. Notice that the supply of their needs was plenteous. And you look back on your life, God's provision has been plenteous. In verse, again, we'll look at these verses we just looked at, but look at something else instead. In verse 15, they drank as out of the great depths. That speaks of plenty. They drank as out of the great depths. In verse 16, he calls waters to run down like rivers. Again, speaking of that which is plentiful. Verse 25, he sent them meat to the full. In verse 27, he rained flesh upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. Verse 28, he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about, all around their habitations. That is, everywhere they stepped, there it was. God provided, and he did so plentifully. Verse 29, so they did eat and were well filled. God provided for them over and over and over again. And they would get to the next place and they would complain. And they would have already have forgotten what God did for them just a day or two before. And we're the same way. We're no different. God gives us the history of Israel to draw a picture of ourselves. Don't be too critical of Israel, because you and I do the very same thing. This is the purpose of giving us this history. But the grace of God, they murmured, they complained. They did not trust God. They did not believe God. And God just continually provided for them. That's grace. That's mercy. You also see is these verses that we just read that he provided for them in unlikely ways. In unlikely sources. You know, it says one of their sins was that they limited God. We do the same thing when we get our eyes on a particular source and we think that's where my need is coming from. I've got to hold on to this. This is where it is. You've limited God. That's a provoking of God. You have no idea. You have no idea where your resources might come from. You have no idea what God might use to wonderfully and marvelously provide whatever it is that you stand in need of. Notice in Isaiah, keep a mark there in Psalm, but in Isaiah 41, verse 18, I will open rivers in high places. That's an unlikely place for a river. But he says, I'll open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. That's an unlikely place to find a pool of water. This is the way God works. And the dry land, springs of water. Consider the ways that God has intervened in your life. And he's done so in many, many different ways. God can send a sickness, and by sending that sickness, he saves your life. He prevents you from doing something that you would have done. God can cause something to happen that will cause them to put up the detour signs on a road in order to save your life. You have no idea all the ways that God has intervened in our lives. And it's all by grace and mercy. Because all we do is sin over and over and over again. All we do is refuse to believe Him and refuse to trust Him. And we are more prone to trust in man and we are God. And yet God just miraculously and marvelously and wonderfully provides for us. That's grace and that's mercy. Also notice verse 19. God in mercy furnishes a table. He says, when they spake against God, they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And though these words are speaking again of the sin of the people, we are reminded of something here, that God does furnish a table in the wilderness. David said in the 23rd Psalm, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemies don't have to disappear for God to prepare a table. God prepares a table in the very presence of our enemies. And he does so with great thought. He prepares a table for me. He prepares a table for you. And he does so with great thought. He does so with great wisdom. He does so with love. And he does so very carefully. This table is not the product of the wilderness. God prepares the table in the wilderness. This table is not manufactured by man. God prepares the table in the wilderness. And just as we saw this morning, there's a well near at hand. Not only is there a well near at hand, there is a table near at hand. And God has provided that table. And God has furnished that table. And on that table, we will find refreshment. How many times we have been saved from despair simply because God prepared a table? How many times we found strength? How many times we found comfort? How many times we found peace? How many times we found the assurance that we need? All because God prepared a table and caused us to sit down at the table and caused us to eat. God intervenes in our lives. We would have destroyed our lives long, long, long ago. But God has intervened. And we would have been given over to despair long ago. But God has provided. And everything he does, it's by grace. It's by mercy. You and I do not deserve any of these things. So we need to always be looking for the way that God has graciously provided. Always be on the lookout for God's way. And always be ready to walk in God's way. Always be ready to depend upon God's guidance, daytime and all the night long. Always be ready to depend upon God's protection. Always depend upon God's sustaining hand. God is not limited to the economy. God is not limited to the circumstances of the state of Michigan. God is God. And God intervenes and God provides, and it's not up to you to figure out how he's going to do it. Just sit back and enjoy it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And always know that there is a God-prepared table at hand. You know, no matter where you and I go, no matter where we find ourselves, our mindset ought to be this. Yes, this is a dire situation, but I know there's a table here somewhere. I know God has prepared a table for me somewhere. And I'm going to look for that table. I'm going to find that table. Because that's where I'll find what I need. In closing, let's turn to Psalm 124. We've preached from this psalm several times, but Psalm 124. Beginning with Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, which is a total of 15 psalms. You will notice the title above each of those songs is A Song of Degrees. A Song of Degrees. These were songs that were sung on the way to the feast days. They were sung on the way to worship the Lord. And these are good things to have in our mind if we are going to worship the Lord. He says here in Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Just stop and think about that. If it had not been for the Lord, things would be completely different. If it had not been for the Lord. And the next word there in verse 2 is that word when. During which time? If it had not been for the Lord, during which time? And there are more whens in our life than you and I even know of. Our lives are filled with when. A specific time. At that time. When men rose up against us. There have been times when men rose up against us. Then, that is, at that time, they had swallowed us up quick. Had it not been for God, they would have swallowed us up. Had it not been for God, we would have been swallowed up by the wicked a long time ago. Don't credit it to your convictions. If it had not been for God, you would have been swallowed up by the enemy. That's true of every one of us. That's true every day of my life. If it were not for God, I'd be swallowed up by the enemy. Be swallowed up by my greatest enemy, myself. Be swallowed up by the enemy of Satan. Be swallowed up by the enemies of mankind. Were it not for God, we would have been swallowed up. We would have been consumed. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our heads. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. In other words, were it not for God, we would have been completely engulfed. The things of this world, with the trials and the attacks of this world. Were it not for God, we'd have been consumed. Were it not for God, we would have been engulfed. Make sure you give credit where it's due. If it were not for God. Don't give any individual that credit. That credit belongs to God. If it were not for God, we would have been swallowed up. We would have been engulfed. Blessed be the Lord, verse 6, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. That is, were it not for God, we would have been caught in their mouths. Caught in their teeth. But we read in verse 7, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. In other words, had it not been for God, we would have been trapped a long time ago. And we would have been hopelessly trapped, never to escape, were it not for God. God, in His grace and mercy, in spite of who we are, in spite of the way that we treat God, the children of Israel again were blessed over and over and over and over again. And they murmured, they complained, they refused to believe. They sin. They provoke God. They provoke the anger of God. They turn away from God. And this was in the face of the blessings of God. And we do the same thing. over and over. And yet God intervenes in our life and makes provision in our life. And were it not for God, there is not a single one of us here tonight that would be sitting here in Home Baptist Church. Not a one of us. Were it not from God. Were it not for God. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the credit. All of it. It all goes back to God. Thank the Lord for His intervention. Thank the Lord for His provision. Again, as you read through the 78th Psalm, you see many times when God judged them. And many people would look at those judgments and they would say, that's pretty harsh. No, it's not. They still didn't get what they deserved. And neither do you and I. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't get angry at God. God's gracious. God's been gracious to you every day. God's been merciful to you every day. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That is, no matter what happens, there is the goodness and mercy of God on my behalf. We must believe that. We must get a hold of that. There is nobody in this world that you can treat like you treat God. No one's going to put up with it. Your husband's not going to put up with it. Your wife isn't going to put up with it. Your mom and dad's not going to put up with it. No one will put up with the treatment that God receives from those He blesses. But God. God is gracious. God is merciful. That's why it is a serious thing to murmur and to complain about God's dealings. The very God who holds your breath in His hand has been merciful. He has been gracious to me every day of my life. There is not a moment of my life that God has not been gracious, that God has not been merciful to me. It seems to me that I owe everything to Him. Seems to me that we all owe everything to God. Seems to me that we ought to praise Him, that we ought to give Him all the glory and all the credit for all the ways that He has intervened in our lives. You can drive down the street, and especially nowadays, you see some pitiful, pitiful things. And were it not for God, we'd be in the same place. Were it not for God's intervention, were it not for God's provision, we would be even worse. God has been gracious to us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verse song. Let's all